Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I tell you, I'm looking out my window. I just love these mornings because, you know, last night it was a little chilly down here on the Emerald Coast. It really felt like we were moving into the holiday season. And then I look out my window today, and I'm excited because as soon as the radio show's over, I'm going on a beach drive with my wife. But it's just gorgeous. The sun is shining today, and it's phenomenal. And I just want to thank everybody. I truly do for being on the radio show. My name is Troy Dooley, and I'm hosting the show today. You'll find if you're new to Radio for Your Mind that there's three or four hosts that you'll hear at any time: John Hansis, myself, Jim Gilhouse, Mark Layton, and we're constantly bringing new people in because this is a radio show that we created for the people. I mean, truly, we want distributors, we want business owners to take a part in what we do. Lately, we've been covering the book by John C. Maxwell, Failing Forward, Turning Your Mistakes in Stepping Stones for Success. And here in Chapter 8, you know, we're sitting here and we're looking at who is the person making these mistakes. And one of the quotes that John has in here is, it says, "Failure is the greatest opportunity I have to know who I really am." It's by a guy named John Killinger. And as I thought about that, it reminded me of some of my own mistakes that I've made in life that really became the greatest opportunities. And John opens this whole chapter up saying, "Sometimes great achievements can only be as the result of a period of failure that helps you understand who you really are." And I thought, wow, man, that right there is really an impactful phrase. It's something that when you analyze and you look at where we're at in life and the mistakes that we've made, we start to realize, man, what would the type of person be had I not made a mistake or I had not accepted that mistake? And Johnny, let me ask you, as somebody that's had to, at a young age, learn to be a pilot, learn to go through certain things in life, and even know people that have made what you and I might call grave mistakes that have cost them in their life, would you be able to say that those mistakes, whether they're yours or somebody close to you, it's something that you've been able to learn from that helped mold you into the man you're becoming now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every single day you got to look at it this way. Now that I'm, having different perceptions in my life, because I'm getting a little older, I don't know if I'm getting wiser. All I can say is I'm failing more because of the reality of how you succeed in life is through all these failures. I mean, nobody just takes the time to reflect on what they've done and what they've accomplished due to the failures in life. You know, all the experiences that I've gotten, you know, like with Mr. Jim Gilhouse, a very good friend, mentor, teacher, and pretty much a father-like figure, like, to me. I don't know how many times I've failed in front of him in front of the cockpit. I don't know how many times I've failed talking to people about enrolling them in the business opportunity that I provide. I don't know how many times, you know, that I have, in the past year and 2 months, have failed in anything that has to do with what would be fear that's like a, I guess, not a gain forward in success, but has made me grow so much as a person. It's like I really actually now love failing because I know I'm getting where I need to go. I don't get why people are so scared of failing. I mean, this is an analogy I love to use with everybody. I'll try to keep it as simplistic as I can and politically correct. I'm a single guy. You know, I don't have a wife, don't have any kids. Occasionally I approach people who are single men and, you know, looking for a great opportunity to make some additional income. And they have trouble, you know, and I'm trying to give them a perception. I say, hey, you know, when you go out and you're with your buddies, just go ahead and observe the situation where you're sitting there and you're trying to approach a woman. I mean, you know, the cold hard truth of approaching a woman and getting one of them to accept your drink offer or whatever the heck it may be, is the same concept of anything else in life. The more you try, the more you go out there, and the more you even fail, the chances are you're going to find those yeses, like how we were talking about go for no and all the other stuff that comes with things. I mean, it's just more and more I'm realizing that when you're talking and you're developing relationships with people, whether it's a personal relationship, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's just someone where you're trying to find out some information, you know, an acquaintance relationship. The more you don't do it, the more you're not going to do anything. And it's man, it's just so hard for people to understand that. And I guess, you know, it took forever for me to figure it out too. So,
well, I think you hit something there, Johnny, because and I sum it up with, you know, you only miss the shots that you don't take. But looking back, and I mean, Lord knows I've not been single for a long time, but I can think back to a day that really changed my life in that aspect. And it wasn't me taking the shot. It was actually my wife taking the shot, because we'd not dated in years. And I didn't even know she was home from college at the time. And I was with another girl. And she just came up out of the blue and just said, hey, would you like to go to a movie this afternoon? And I didn't see that. I mean, that other girl was gone, man. That's all it took. Paige asked me out and said, dude, I'm there. So,
it's all about upline support.
That's it right there. I mean, that's the key. So I look at what you just said, and I think, man, that is so true. Everything we do is about connection. Everything we do are about relationships. But I'm going to do something here today, because I want to get another gentleman on the phone who I know has gotten, I mean, years more chance to make mistakes than you and I actually combined, because I know your age and I know my age. But, Harry, are you with me on the phone?
I'm here, brother.
I want you to give us your aspect as a father, as a husband, as somebody that has more years than Johnny and I have. How have the mistakes that you've made in different avenues in your life helped shape the man that you've become today?
You mean more years than both of y'all have together?
Well, you know, I just want people to understand that you're older than we are. See?
Oh, you know, I heard somebody say one time, and it makes a lot of sense. It's as simple as try, fail, adjust. Try, fail, adjust. Try, fail, adjust. And the great thing about the book that you're going through is that failure is not put in a negative sense, but it's just a part of the process. You know, and life is a process. Success is a process. Growth is a process. And I think when we put it in that context, And then we build it around long-term objectives and a solid foundation of beliefs based on eternal truths, then it all becomes, we can just go each day and have fun and enjoy and know that we're really not the deciders of how it all turns out, but we do have to be the deciders of the decisions that we make and how we relate to what we call failures, which are really just learning opportunities.
Good point there. You know, I think that's a key, and both you and Johnny tapped on that, is they're learning opportunities. Their mistakes or failure or whatever we want to look at has gotten such a negative insight that people don't want to share it anymore. You know, we've been given this fallacy, this myth, this lie that we cannot be realist. We cannot share the truth. And, you know, there's going to be times when we just need to. I was watching on my Facebook today, and Raven Starr, a very successful single mom in this business, you know, one of the things she posted this morning was, even I have fear sometimes, but I stay focused on what my outcome is. And I think that's the key here for all of our listeners to understand, is we have to stay focused on what our outcome is. We have to learn from these mistakes that we make. We've got to learn from other people's mistakes. You know, there are times when we will get drawn up into what somebody would call a failure, and we didn't have anything to do with it. We just happened to be at the right place with an individual at the wrong time. And
right.
And that's what we've got to look at. One of the things that just burns my hide is when I hear parents or prospective parents say, oops, that was a mistake, and now we got pregnant. And I look at that and I think, man, how can you say that's a mistake? You know, and Harry, you touched on this. Our actions, our decisions move us into the right direction. And I think, you know, there's not a life that comes into this world. There's not a relationship that we build, whether it's for a season or for a lifetime, that should be looked at as a mistake. We should be able to take that, and as Maxwell says, find the 1% that we can agree on, and then give it 100% of our effort. And I got to spend this weekend with my soon to be my former daughter-in-law, who I just adore and love to death. And we took some time with her and little Lena, and she's now pregnant again. And, you know, watching her glow as she shared about her baby was something that I was proud of. I'm not proud of how it happened, per se, but she is truly excited about being pregnant. And I looked at that, and I thought, how many times in network marketing are we excited just for a moment, and then once the sale's done, once the close is done, we're off to something else? And Johnny, it goes back to what you said. Sometimes when you're young and you're single, it's more about the chase than it is the catch. And then some of these guys catch them, and then they're off chasing something again instead of trying to nurture and build a relationship. And I think all of us, we just got to learn from that. We've got to realize what our mistakes do to us and how it shapes us. But I'm going to bring in another patriarch of this crew. I'm going to bring in Mark Layton. Mark, I want to share from your perspective. Over the years, as a dad raising one daughter, having a wife that has just as strong a personality as you, how have you been shaped as a man, being in a woman's household, learning from all the mistakes I'm sure that you've made over those years?
first of all, you got me laughing. I mean, that's Harry Wilkes. You two guys added together are older than Harry. You just made, you know, I mean, you're beating that guy up this month.
I subtracted a few years, though. Yeah, but I subtracted a few years because of hair loss. So, you know, it all adds up.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. When you live in a house full of women, as you have a lot of women in your house,
you learn
to pay attention. You cannot give a random answer, and most likely, even when you're correct, you're not right. But but as long as you understand what's yours is hers and what's hers is hers, you'll get along just fine. But as far as making mistakes and failing forward, just imagine, Troy, when you were real little and you can't remember this day, when you stood up to take your first steps and you fell down and you fell down again and then you fell down again and looked at you and you said, three chances, that's it, and put you back in the playpen and was done with you.
Hmm.
Or how about all the times that a kid will fall off a bicycle? Just dust them off, put them on there again. Because they're learning how to balance, they're correcting things. How many times you watch a kid with a T-ball, and it's the simplest thing is to hit a stationary ball, and they swing over it or through it 5-6 times till they figure out how to do it. So what if you discourage them? If you're married, how many girls did you date before, you know, you found the one was the one for you? If you've ever been employed, how many job interviews did you go on? And sometimes messed up and sometimes do real good. And if you did real good, be proud of yourself, because I guarantee you weren't the only one seeking a job. But if you did bad, okay. You're supposed to learn from it. You know, people would watch Michael Jordan out there sink shot after shot after shot after pressure shot. And what they didn't see was the 2,000 shots he missed in practice during the week. So what will you do when nobody's watching? That's the key.
You know, that's you guys have all hit on something. And I think, folks, I want you to go ahead.
Another thing that people don't know about Michael Jordan probably, he was cut from his high school basketball team.
That's true. That is very true. That coach should be fired after that. You know, that's we all make mistakes. We all learn. But, you know, that is something strong. And, folks, I want you to write down something here. And I'm going to give you four things that if you truly are frustrated with your mistakes, if you're truly, you know, you feel like they're holding you back, and that goes back to what we talked about yesterday, and you keep looking in your past, here's four things that I think you can do. Number one, you need to see yourself clearly. And as we listen to Harry and Johnny and Mark just now share, you can see how they've taken themselves. They don't grasp their failures, and that became the identity that they have. each one of them are willing to go out there, constantly learn from those mistakes, constantly move forward. In two out of the three situations here, they have raised children into adults who now have that same advice inside of them. They learn from their mistakes. And that's the key. You've got to see yourself clearly. Number two, admit your flaws honestly. And you heard Johnny do that. You heard Johnny say, man, I don't know how many times I've made mistakes in front of Gilhouse in a cockpit. You know, I mean, this is, folks, if you don't know it, and since Jimmy's not on the phone, I'm just going to let everybody know this today. He's not here on the show, and he can't yell at me, but he's an icon in Army aviation. That's why he's now retired and still out there training pilots as an independent contractor. He is one of the best at what he does. And he's mentoring Johnny and has all these years. Of all the students that Jim has gone out there and trained, he said to Johnny, I want you to come down here and work with us because you're the kind of person that we need. Folks, this is a protege who knows he's making mistakes in front of somebody that is good at what he does, but yet he knows every time he makes a mistake, he's going to be becoming a better pilot, a better man, a better trainer, a better mentor to somebody else. You have to admit your flaws honestly. Number three, discover your strengths. And, I mean, just be excited about those. None of us are perfect. Even the narcissistic individuals out there that think they're perfect have bigger flaws than we do. So you just have to go out there and you've got to build on your personality. You've got to build on your strengths. Don't worry about your weaknesses. And I mean this seriously. If I focused on all my weaknesses, I would never do anything. But instead, I focus on my strengths and surround myself with people that are strong in my areas of weakness. And in doing that, we have built a pretty good team of personalities, male and female, that get along together, that go out there and build in different companies, that come together on radio shows and do what we do best and train people. Folks, that's the key here. And number four, build on your strengths passionately. Man, I'm telling you, you're going to be able to see weaknesses in other people where you're strong. And maybe you realize that, man, they could dominate that if they could just get a little bit of training, kind of like what Jim does to Johnny, kind of like what Harry and Mark and I have done with our children. And when you do that, it's amazing. Matter of fact, I had a situation arise yesterday with my children's youth pastor. And he'd gone out with the guys, and they'd had a wild time on Halloween, and somebody had said something about his costume, and he wrote me an email, and he said, Troy, I heard you were offended or upset, and I wrote him back and said, I don't want to know who told you that, but I'd like to know what was said. And he said, well, really, I don't know what was said. I just heard it through the grapevine. So I shared with him, if I had an issue with him, how I would address that. And then because he was so transparent in this email, I also shared with him that leadership's a tough road, especially in a technology-infested world that we live in, where people can take a picture, and that picture can be placed on a public website totally out of context and can cause people headaches. I mean, forget about the girls gone wild. This is a youth pastor in charge of all kinds of young, middle-aged girls. And one of his sentences that he said in there, and Mark, you'll appreciate this, he said, Troy, I've never raised middle-aged daughters before, so this is new to me. And I wrote back to him and said, well, that's something we have in common because I've never raised middle-aged girls before either, you know, and we're all learning from this. And folks, when you do that, and I shared with him passionately what I thought his strengths were as an outside parent looking, and then I made it very clear to him as I ended my email. I said, Graham, if I ever have an issue with you, as the youth pastor, what I will do is probably go up the chain of command. And if I don't feel like I've gotten an answer, then I will come to you directly, but you'll never hear me say something through the grapevine because that's just not my personality. Folks, he wrote me back and said, man, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're praying for me daily because I need help raising your girls in a godly fashion. And you know what? That's what a community is about. Now, in my case, it's through our church. But everybody has a community, and although I disagree with Hillary Clinton on most everything she said, or does say, for that matter, the one thing that she did say that was very true in today's society, just like it was in the 1800s, is that it truly is a community that helps raise our kids, whether it's the school teachers out there, the youth pastors, or whether it's just their friends and the parents of their friends. You have to know what's going on. You have to celebrate those strengths. And you as a parent, you as a father, mother, it doesn't matter on this show, you're going to make mistakes just like we do in business. But if you learn through those mistakes, if you're realistic with those mistakes, then just like the guys on this show today, you're going to be able to make it through there and you're going to become a better person. That's the key. Let me ask you, Johnny, I want to go back to you. In building your network marketing business, and I know that you're the youngest of the crew and you're really putting this together and you're passionate, have you made more mistakes in your mind? Have you made more mistakes or have you had more successes in the last year or two that you've been at this?
Well, I'm comparatively speaking, I understand how you're trying to word that. I'm trying to word that back the way exactly how you, not exactly, but in the same perception. Okay, let's talk about from the very beginning. Getting into something new, and any time you get into something new, there's always that excitement. There's always the fear of the unknown. There's always the, oh, my God, am I going to do well? Or, you know, can I really do this? I know I signed up for this, but did I make a mistake because I invested some money? And you go through all these natural things, and the coolest thing I can say is already from that specific moment, if you're having those feelings, you're already succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're being so tough on yourself to want to succeed that if you do fail, guess what's going to happen? You're going to sit there and you're going to beat yourself up. Most people do. Most people who want to go out and form an additional stream of income are some self-starting people.
Sure.
Self-starting people who like to, you know, do things on their own, try to do things and break free of what the normal society is saying, like, you know, doing your 9-to-5, 20 years, and guess what, you get some retirement. And then poof, there goes 20 years of your life. People that are trying to break out and do their own thing will beat themselves up continually and constantly. The cool thing is once they get that little bit of grasp, like what from I'm understanding now, and it's taking me a whole year. It really has taken me a year to understand that not to beat myself up, but go, oh, my gosh, I failed. This is good. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm expanding myself. I'm expanding my perceptions. I mean, oh, my God, my bag of tricks is getting bigger. Does that make sense?
That makes good sense, and I'm glad that you said it that way, because that's the thing. Too many times people beat themselves up, and then they become they just get paralysis of analysis, and they don't do anything at all.
Yeah, I mean,
boom.
And that's exactly it. I mean, it's an interesting rut you can put yourself into if you start beating yourself up. I mean, I see it all the time when people give me a call that are on my downline and ask me every once in a while. They go like, you know, what do I do? Just be who you are. Well, I love when you give your presentations and how I'm like, you know, I said, whoa, wait from the very beginning. Look, I've been doing this for a very short amount of time. The only thing that I had from, you know, my support team at Radio for Your Mind, like you guys, giving me these awesome tidbits of knowledge and me to bounce off and grow from you guys, the key is just be yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's it, right there.
You know, transcribe your story to what you want to experience in your life, because when you expose yourself to vulnerability and, you know, sincerity, people identify with that so quick. I mean, that's what something I'm doing, an analogy. Whenever I watch a movie, there's always a vulnerability in the main character, and everybody identifies with them. And everybody wants to sit there and give the rest of their 2 hours attention to that movie. It's the same thing for you if you just open yourself up and if you're not scared. I mean, me, I've got a ton of history behind my – Jim knows about it. You know, I've got family members who are in jail. You know, I've been to Iraq twice. I've seen so many different things that I'm so open with that I have no problem sharing with people, even in my presentations. That may be a little taboo for professionalism, but – man, it's just people identify with me and go, this guy's going somewhere, you know, and I am going somewhere.
Well, and that's the key.
That.
Well, yeah, you hit something right then, you know, because it is about you going somewhere. It is about those mistakes. It is about overcoming. It is about not wallowing in that self-pity and moving forward. And it's funny because what you've mentioned here, people see that, whether it's Richard Burks, whether it's Jim Gelhaus, whether it's a Troy Dooley, whether it's just somebody that says, I want to be on his team because they see how you act on Facebook. You know, that's the key. And I want to flip this again over to Harry. Harry, in the years that you've had in the business world, in the years that you've had as a father, compared to the hits, the home runs that you've made, do you feel like your strikeouts have been more than your hits, but it's the strikeouts that you learned from as you moved forward and became a better person?
Unquestionably, yeah. If everything always worked, how would you learn?
Well, see, that's the key right there. And I think people, you know, they see people up at the top, and they think, oh, if I could just be like them. And then they're taught this myth of never share your mistakes, always be positive. I hate positive thinking crap because of this. But when people look at all the big players out there, when you look at all the big events that have taken place in the world, none of them came out of the chute without mistakes, whether it's or strikeouts or failures. We look at Michael Jordan. Not only does he have an ungodly amount of points, he also has the most missed shots. When you look at all the big hitters out there, the guys that have got the 3,000, you know, home runs or the 3,000 hits or the you know, the top batting average, they also have the most strikeouts, the most outs on base, the most, all this stuff. And as I look at that, I start to realize it's through all of these strikeouts, it's through these hiccups, it's through these mistakes that they've learned to be what they are today. I look at Edison and I think, man, where would we be today had he not kept just moving forward? And when people kept saying, well, but you failed, he'd say, that's not failure, that's just another way of not making the light bulb work, that's all. And I see the same thing here. Mark,
Troy,
you've been at this longer than I have. Go ahead.
If I could just jump in for a second. Just a saying that I've heard a lot that hit me, you know, related to what we're calling failures, this too shall pass. However, related to the successes, this too shall pass. And so we're not going to stay on the bottom. We're not going to stay on the top. That's why we've got to have long-term goals and beliefs and foundations and get other centered so that we, you know, we go with the flow, we know who we are, we know where we're headed, we know what we're all about, and it's not about us.
You know, that's a true statement right there. And I think, folks, I'm going to use an analogy, and most of you know what my background and my beliefs are. And, you know, I can picture the crucifixion of Jesus, and I can picture people sitting around saying to themselves, well, we made a mistake. This isn't the Messiah. We made a mistake. They've hung him on a cross. You know, we followed the wrong person, and they got defocused. But yet, when you look at 2,000 years later, you see how Christianity has really permeated the world, and there's people out there that realize that wasn't a mistake. That was actually the event. Now, I'm not trying to get, you know, off into a bunch of theology or philosophical. I just want you to realize that what you may see as a mistake actually may be something good. Because anytime a person can learn from your mistakes, then it's a success. The only time a mistake is truly a failure is when you, as an individual, accept it as part of the failure, and you decide that that's who you are. And as we get down to the last minute, I want you to remember three things, and you can write these down and you can listen to the archives. Number one, you need to start to realize that what you want is a problem that will help you gain in knowledge. You want to look at your mistakes. You want to realize, hey, I need to learn from that. And you write down that mistake on a 3x5 card, and you write down what you learned from it. You want to realize that if you don't pursue excellence, if you just wallow in the mistakes and say, oh, I'm never going to make it, that you're going to fail. You want to be able to use those mistakes as motivation for the next part of the process. And number three, you want to have unconditional persistence in achieving what your outcome is. Folks, if you do that, just like the guys that have been on the radio with me today, you're going to learn through your mistakes. You're going to become a better person. We've had every different age group, every different genre, every different on this show, and each of us say the same thing. You just got to keep going. Don't take the mistakes. Move forward. Folks, tomorrow I want you on. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you soon.